com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Deckers, makers of Uggs and Tevas, Pierre LaFon, Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines, Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years, Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability and self-reliance through shelter, and CSU Channel Islands. No matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And we have a wonderful special guest today, Congressman Salud Carbajal. Welcome.
Thank you, Neil. Good to be here.
It's great. And by the way, I just wanted, some of the rules of this show is that we want to make sure you give both sides. There's two sides to every story.
Of course, there's my side and there's my side again.
So I don't know if you notice, you're not in Washington now, but I don't know if you happened to catch our president's lecture yesterday afternoon. What I find, and I suspect you'll have something to say about it, but I find unbelievable is how so many people will make comments about him, about that statement, but not make comments about him. They'll talk about it in the abstract. You know, we don't like races, which is just like saying, I don't like rain on my head. But, you know, with the country so divided, you know, I was hoping for somebody, and I think everyone was hoping for someone to bring the country back together again.
Well, it's been really unfortunate, and I think tragic, that this president hasn't really used his position to speak out and disavow the actions and the comments made by many of these white supremacists. There's certainly no room for white supremacy in our country, and I think it's counterproductive to the many strides that we've taken as a country to appreciate diversity, to appreciate our differences, and to appreciate one another.
I find, you know, anyone, and maybe a lot of people didn't watch Schindler's List, which is, you know, just a small thing to do. How can anyone walk around with a Nazi sign after seeing what they did to little kids? It's just, you know, if you want to have a debate about social mores, how can you include in that the horror of what took place during that period? And in fact, what's so interesting is they talk about monuments, but, you know, in Germany, it's illegal to show a swastika. But here, it's a good thing, according to some people.
Neil, make no mistake about it. This was a terrorist act and inciting behavior by a white supremacy terrorist group. And it's indefensible, it's inexcusable, and we shouldn't tolerate it.
One of the things that's taken place besides, even before this, was, and we see it at AHA, with a lot of Hispanic kids, is this fear that when they come home, their parents won't be home. And so you have this chilling atmosphere that permeates so many groups of people. You know, we talk about LGBT, we talk about blacks, and now we have, you know, young kids afraid that their family's going to be broken up. And we wonder why the country is split.
Absolutely. I think this president has inflicted much fear and panic amongst many groups. Because he has degraded them or spoken out against them, be it minorities, women, for religious purposes, the disabled. He has really, I think, taken our country back in time where it was okay to discriminate against people.
Well, this is a difficult subject. It's depressing. It's difficult. So let's go to something much more upbeat and easy to talk about, healthcare. talking about people fearful, I don't think people really, you know, it's like that comment back in the 2008 election where some woman was screaming, you know, I want the government to keep their hands off my Medicare. I don't think a lot of people don't realize how much Obamacare has helped them. And, you know, now we're looking at the possibility in the paper yesterday. They're talking about, you know, the impact we'd have if Trump followed through on his threat to defund subsidies. Mm-hmm. So we're from the People's Republic of California. What can California do to, because we have a Republican Congress, can California do something to at least protect our citizens?
I think a lot of that is embedded in the law, what Washington can do to California or not. And I see the attorney general and the state legislature and the governor examining all the options available to protect California and its residents. But obviously what can be done to shore up the Affordable Care Act, to build on the gains that we made, is to stabilize the market. And I think we could do that in a bipartisan way. It doesn't have to be partisan. Unfortunately, this president is taking every step to sabotage the Affordable Care Act by withholding those cost reduction subsidies that really go to shore up the market and the insurance companies to provide insurance to high-risk individuals. It's really unfathomable that we would have a president that didn't get his way by having legislation go forward successfully to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And now he's doing everything possible to sabotage the existing law, which may not be legal. I think many states, as I said earlier, are looking at ways to challenge this administration in the courts to show that it's, one, discriminatory to not continue the subsidies, and two, discriminatory to try to defund individuals, geographic areas like the state of California.
Now, when you talk to Republican congresspeople, and I'm not looking for names, just as a concept, do they really understand what they voted for? Do they understand the harm it does? Or are they just ideologically cynics and think that the Senate won't pass whatever they pass? Do you think that they really believe what they're doing is a good thing when they decided to vote to eliminate Obamacare?
Well, I think you have a diversity even within the Republican Party, and that's why we did not see the repeal come to fruition or succeed.
In the Senate.
In the Senate. And we did see it in the House. But, I mean, you have the Freedom Caucus, which is an extreme conservative part of the Republican Party that pushes the party to the right. I think a number of them do understand and realize that we have this enigma of a president, somebody who doesn't represent the traditional Republican Party, but they are in a paradox. On one hand, they want to move forward an agenda and want to continue to work with this president so that they could move their agenda forward, their Republican agenda. And on the other hand, they know that this ship is sinking. This president is bringing down their party. And I think they're looking to see when the last lifeboat falls off the sinking ship.
One of the reasons that so many of us voted for you is because you happen to be very good at dealing with people and dealing with people of different ideas. And so we're counting on you to change everything in the Congress. and I guess you've already started. You've proposed, I read, a solution, a bill to actually fix some of the problems.
Absolutely. Be it healthcare, be it on Russia, be it for our environment. I feel very grateful to have been able to put forth some legislation to try to address some of these important issues. But more importantly, Neil, I am very proud to be part of a bipartisan group known as the Problem Solvers, which is made up of 42 members of Congress.
41 Democrats?
42, half Democrats, half Republicans. And we are actually starting to examine what areas we can reach agreement on. And we're starting with healthcare. Now that it failed, we're starting to see what areas we might be able to agree on to fix and build on the gains of the Affordable Care Act to make our healthcare delivery system even better. And we're starting to do that.
What's the Marketplace Certainty Act?
The Marketplace Certainty Act is an opportunity to codify through our normal budgetary process the allocation of funds to fund the cost reduction subsidies. that the president is currently threatening to take away. This way, Congress would fold in that cost as part of our normal budgetary process, and it would not be at the whim of the president threatening to do this.
That would require principle on the part of at least the members of your group to actually stand up and go against what has been, 7 years of, appeal, repeal, repeal.
Absolutely.
And so, what I'm hoping for is people like you can bring some sanity to what was really now not just a crazy world, but a really a mean-spirited world where, if you look at the real stories here, it's not just about, my taxes are too high or my taxes are too low. It's about people that are going to lose their ability to live.
Absolutely. I mean, for many people, this isn't this ideological fight. It's a matter of life and death. I have a constituent, a young woman who lives in Lompoc. Her name is Bailey. And I can share this because she came to my office and she's very public about it. She has an immunosuppressant disease that requires $27,000 a month of prescription drugs. And without the Affordable Care Act, she would be out on the street. Their family would go bankrupt. So that's just one example. A month, not a year. Yeah. $27,000 a month.
Well, I just like to change the conclusion you just said. It wouldn't just be on the streets. She'd be dead because she couldn't pay the money. And this
Absolutely.
Country, that's the way it goes. You're listening to AHA Presents about education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Founded by a UCSB grad, Deckers Brands has grown into a global driver of lifestyle footwear. From humble beginnings in 1973, Santa Barbara has been a key element of the business, defining the company's culture, providing home base for many employees, and inspiring product innovation each year. For a first-hand experience, stop by the Deckers Brands headquarters in Goleta, 250 Coromar Drive, from 10 to 7, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5 Sunday, and shop their new brand showcase retail test lab. Guaranteed, you'll see a new side to Deckers' portfolio, from footwear to handbags to home furnishings.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with the Honorable Salud Carbajal, our congressman in the 24th District. And we've been talking about health care, and just to continue, Anthem Blue Cross announced that they're heading to the hills, which means that this is a slow death that's taking place here. What are we going to do about the lack of alternatives? Even if things stay exactly the same, these health insurance companies are saying the uncertainty is driving them to make decisions that they can't stay.
Well, again, I think you're going to see legal action from states like California questioning whether this president could do what he's doing and hold back the cost reduction subsidies. What needs to be done is we just need to build on what we have. And part of that is to pass a public option that also broadens competition and enhances the current system. so that you have a good public-private partnership that works better. We also need to stabilize the market, as I said earlier, by making sure that those subsidies are certain and not at the whim of a president playing politics, trying to sabotage the Affordable Care Act. Companies like Blue Anthem are leaving because they don't like the uncertainty. And this president has done everything he could to sabotage and create uncertainty in the market.
So what happens if they win and there's a, you know, a real catastrophe in California? What about there's been obviously a lot of talk about this, a single payer option for California, or if not a single payer option, some sort of subsidies that we would give to California residents. Is that a fiscally and politically viable alternative?
Well, I think before you can get into the answer, is it fiscally viable? I think a lot of analysis needs to be done, because certainly it's perfectly fine to have that as an aspirational goal. But keep in mind, when we talk about single payer, it doesn't always mean the Medicare system we have in place. The reason the Medicare system works so well right now is that it's a hybrid between government and the private sector, and it works well. Single payer would be completely all government. And there's a lot of analysis that needs to take place before we can even see the viability of how that would come to fruition. But certainly as an aspirational goal, it's something we can aspire to. But a lot needs to happen between now and getting to that point. Keep in mind the struggle we went through just to get the Affordable Care Act to pass and improve the system just a little bit, let alone transforming it to a complete new framework. So again, I think what we need to do right now is focus on defending the gains, building on the gains by coming forward with solutions that make it even better, stabilizing the market, a public option, stabilizing prescription drug costs. And then we could continue working on that plane to even a better system in the future. But first, building on the game.
And, you know, Democrats tend to shoot themselves in the foot. And whether it's a litmus test for single payer or a litmus test for pro-choice, they may be things that most liberals and Democrats want. But when you create a red line that sometimes prohibits somebody who's really good on almost everything else. I mean, look at the senator from Pennsylvania, who's a Republican, who is perfect as a Democrat, except he's not pro-life. But the reality is he's one of the good Republican senators. You know, so to just put it – anyway, so the question is – I feel like I'm making a speech. What about the very, very hard views of, you know, of the old Bernie Sanders coalition about it's my way or the highway?
Well, again, politics is the art of the possible and compromise, and I think we tend to forget that. And the question is, how do we work together in a bipartisan way to achieve better outcomes for our country? Because we know we're not going to be able to achieve that in a partisan way, either Democrats or Republicans. It takes us working together to achieve the best results for our country. And I think it's unfortunate when people get so caught up on one issue that they want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. We need to work together. Certainly, we need to have aspirational goals. And what I would say is people who believe strongly on one issue or another, they should continue to advocate. But they should remember that there needs to be a sense of pragmatism on how we are going to achieve some of their aspirational goals. We can't say we want to end world hunger without being clear how we're going to get there. I don't think I've run across anybody in this world who is against ending world hunger. But again, the question is, how do we get there? And the same thing with healthcare, and the same thing with other important issues and aspirational goals.
So you spent 8 years in the Marines. Do you have any opinion on whether transgendered military service people can actually become successful and not, what was the word he used, disrupt the cohesion of the military unit?
Transgender people should be able to serve as they have always served, and anything short of that is discrimination. You know, anybody who wants to serve their country and protect our constitution, our democracy, should be able to do that. And to say that they are any less Americans, patriots, or people is just outright discrimination, and there's no room for that.
And I heard today, right before we came on the air, that leader of every, the Air Force, the Army, and the Marines all came in and basically put in a word for what we would think is a rational view of what happened in Charlottesville, that it's that kind of activity is just inexcusable, which, you know, it's amazing when your military is more liberal than the executive part of the government. One of the things that's stressing Santa Barbara today is, and there's two ways to express it, there's the homeless, and then there's a more politically correct term, which is I forgot what the word is, but let's just, since I can't think of it.
Houseless.
Houseless, homeless. Vagrants. And we don't distinguish between vagrants and homeless. People who are homeless, for the most part, have economic circumstances. They don't bother people. It's the vagrants that small percentage. But the economic impact on State Street and our retail business is becoming really troublesome. Do you have any ideas about what we need to do to help both that and also to help the business environment in this town?
Well, certainly anybody who's vagrant and committing any criminal activity or lewd conduct certainly needs to be addressed from a judicial standpoint. But for the most part, I think people that are homeless are down and out. They don't want to be homeless. And I think we could do a better job of providing better mental health services to people who have experienced mental illness that has led to them being unstable and being on the street. We need to provide better housing options and opportunities from Section 8 to low-income housing opportunities so that we could house individuals. We need to do more for our veteran homeless populations and provide better housing options as well. We need to work better and more cohesive as a federal, state, and local government so that we can address the needs of individuals and families. A lot of these homeless individuals are families and children. We must not forget that when we think of the very small minority of vagrants, the vast majority are homeless people, are people in need that need to be supported, and that we need to find options to help them stabilize and get back on their feet.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
For more than 20 years now, the unique landscape and people of the Santa Barbara community have helped grow Deckers Brands into the lifestyle footwear leaders they are today. Newly opened at their headquarters in Goleta, the Deckers Brand Showcase allows you to explore and shop the UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands while you're likely to discover something new or potentially receive an in-store special offer. At 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta, the showcase is open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 Monday through Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative emotional learning, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel and Congressman Salud Carbajal here talking about various things that are important to any society. And I just read that AHA teaches social harmony, which is one of the precepts behind AHA. And you know, civility is part of that that mission, which we don't have enough of, and we need more people in the government to focus on that. And I know that's one of your passions.
Absolutely, and you know, I learned that not only from my parents, but where it really became a guiding principle for me was watching my former mentor, Naomi Schwartz, when I worked for her, and she was a county supervisor, and seeing just the way she never lost her cool, despite tense dialogue and discourse, that she always maintained that civility of not demagoguing or demonizing people you disagree with. And it's something that always stayed with me. And when I became a county supervisor, that was very important for me. And it helped me build the type of relationships to be able to be successful with bipartisan public policy that at the end benefited our citizens and our residents in our county.
So let's now you touched on your history. Let's just go back and start from the beginning. You were born in District 24.
I was born in Mexico and immigrated when I was 5 years old to a little mining town in Arizona called Baghdad, Arizona.
Uh-oh.
And after my sixth grade elementary school year, the mine closed down, and my father, not having much of a formal education, brought us to one of the towns that he was familiar with from his days in the Bracero guest worker program in the 50s. And that was Oxnard, California. So we moved to Oxnard, California, and I started my seventh grade elementary school year there, and then stayed in Oxnard till the end of my high school years, and that's what brought me to UCSB, my college education.
So did you speak English in the seventh grade?
Oh, yeah. Don't forget, I immigrated when I was five,
okay.
Started first grade. So by the time I moved to Oxnard, I was already going into the seventh grade. By then, I knew English well. I don't even think I had an accent by then. And, you know.
Do I have an accent still, my New York accent?
No, I don't hear it.
Oh, good. And you don't have any Spanish accent, so we're very happy together. We can go dancing tonight.
There you go.
Right. You also have, besides your degree from UCSB, you have a master's degree. Mm-hmm. What's that in?
My master's is in organizational management from the Fielding University, Graduate University. I got that later on in life, meaning not right after I finished my bachelor's degree from UCSB. I just felt I needed to go back to school and be challenged and go into a field that really was calling me and felt like a natural for me. And that's just understanding organizations better, companies, why certain systems work, how you get the best out of people to be successful. And it was very helpful, be it in government or the private sector. And for me, it was a great learning opportunity, and that's what I got my master's in.
Do you think you're too educated to be in Congress?
I think there's a lot of people that are educated, and some that aren't educated, but a lot of people that are educated in Congress, a lot more educated than me.
So with that degree, you could have gone into business and probably made more money than you make as a government employee. But you decided to dedicate yourself to the public sector. Why?
Well, you know, for me, I have always found it very gratifying to be able to improve people's lives and to look at ways that we can improve society. And as an immigrant growing up as a low-income kid, living in the projects in Oxnard, we lived in public housing, understanding that plight and the challenges that confront, especially low-income people, but challenges that confront our society, I've always have found the calling to towards public policy, to find ways to improve the lot of lives, the lot of people's lives, so that they could pursue the American dream. By golly, I feel that I've been fortunate. I have a great education. I've served my country in the Marine Corps. I have been in public service. Now, as a young immigrant boy growing up in a low-income family, now to be walking the halls of Congress just reaffirms what the opportunity of this country and the American dream. And I feel that I'm lucky to have a piece of that. And I want others to be able to have similar opportunities.
So I know you feel that way. How do you deal with meeting constituents that, like that woman in Lompoc, that is in such stress and strife, where you can't do anything about it? That's one of the problems of being in the public sector.
Well, it's frustrating, but they're individuals who share their plight with me, actually give me energy and the subsistence that I need to continue to advocate on their behalf.
And did you work at the Santa Barbara County Health Department as well?
Yes, I did, before I got into actually public policy and politics.
And does that give you any insight into what the health care problem that we have facing today?
Absolutely. Having worked in the public health department, I worked mostly in the drug and alcohol division, so I have a lot more expertise in that area. But, you know, I draw from my own personal experiences and those of my constituents when it comes to being an advocate for fighting for good health care. I mean, when I was a kid, my father worked as a farm worker, first as a miner in Arizona, then as a farm worker in Oxnard. And we relied on Medicaid, Medi-Cal. And seeing those challenges, I remember my mother having to take herself for her own medical needs, or me as a young boy needing allergy shots, way across town in public transportation to be able to get there. So it would take us all day to go for an appointment, living in without transportation, but depending on public transportation, it would take us all day to get our medical care. So I remember those that experience, and it always informs my approach to making sure that we have a good health care system in place.
One of the sentences you used two paragraphs ago was the word fighting. And, you know, you were a soldier for 8 years. And this is almost like being a soldier again, isn't it, when you're in an environment that you're in Washington?
Kind of. I mean, you're advocating, you're fighting, you're engaging in making a strong case and putting forth proposals. You're just doing it with discourse and not weapons. And you actually are trying to find a civil way to meet people halfway and to create good outcomes and good public policy.
When my wife and I visited my son when he was working in the West Wing for Clinton, the security, Secret Service people said to me and my wife, you know, we really love your son. And that's something they usually don't talk about. And Beryl got, you know, choked up because her grandmother came here not speaking English at the turn of the century. Not this century, the last one. And I wonder what your parents would say, or did say, when they see you now as a congressman.
Well, I am, unfortunately, my two parents passed on, one in 1986 and one in 1997. So they never had a chance to see me in this capacity. But I'm sure they're looking down and they're proud and happy to see me succeeding in this capacity as I have done.
Yeah, and we all here in town are proud of you as well. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and Santa Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Available Available only at the company's headquarters in Goleta, the new Deckers brand showcase features the latest footwear from UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands. You're invited to stop by to experience firsthand what makes Deckers brand so unique. Discover new product and try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand at their retail stores. Now open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coramar Drive in Goleta.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm here today with Congressman Salud Carbajal, and we are solving all of the world's problems. And I wish just more people would listen, because if we had the right, everyone would be great.
I should come here more often.
Yeah. One of the things you're involved in is marine sanctuaries, which sounds like an easy thing. You know, we're looking at the environment, but what's going on today with the Secretary of the Interior, which seems to be signing orders every day to get rid of whatever protections we've had for the environment. What is your focus with the marine sanctuaries today?
Well, you know, I understand we have 11 designated marine sanctuaries in our nation off the coast of the United States. In California, we have 4. And here in the 24th Congressional District, you have 2 that are either completely or partially in the 24th Congressional District. This president has signed an executive order directing the review, deletion, modification of these designations of these sanctuaries. So clearly we're quite concerned that could lead to the deletion or the modification of the sanctuaries that we have here in the 24th Congressional District. The reason for doing it is because the president has this energy plan to expand oil drilling off our coastline, and this would allow that. And he's made no bones and no qualms about doing that. And obviously we're all very concerned because there was a huge review process, environmental review, that led to these designations. And now this president wants to undo something that has existed for many years, and it's really unfortunate. He's done something similar for a number of designated public land monuments, as we call it. The Carrizo Plain is one such designation in the San Luis Obispo County area that is also being evaluated and explored, not a sanctuary, but a public land that they are looking whether they want to delete or modify its boundary. And again, these are designations that went through a huge public process, environmental review, and were deemed that these were of such great value for environmental, economic, archaeological reasons, really important and worthwhile designating as monuments and protecting conservation for the American people throughout the United States.
One of the unfortunate things is that so many of these rules and regulations that were promulgated after, as you say, many years of study, they can be eliminated by a signature. And so we're seeing, there was an article in the New York Times 4 or 5 days ago, front page, that said the Secretary of the Interior is quietly and secretly changing the way we look at the environment. In fact, he now has a lock on his floor so staffers can't just walk in, because he doesn't want the staffers to know what they're working on, which is pretty scary. So we're talking about your heritage. Is there still an Hispanic caucus in this?
There is. There is a Congressional Hispanic Caucus that I'm a part of. I think I'm a part of 25 caucuses. The LGBTQ caucus, the avocado caucus, just a cross section of caucuses.
And you meet every week, right? For every one of them?
No, those they meet. Some meet once a year. Some don't meet at all. Some meet regularly. So it all depends.
And I know that one of the things you said before you were elected that you were interested in is Veterans Affairs. Have you gotten involved with that?
Yes. Well, I was appointed to the Budget Committee and the Armed Services Committee. And Veterans Affairs Committee, I did not get a seat at. And they're the ones who deal with veteran services and benefits and those types of issues. The Armed Services deals with all our bases, the benefits and salaries, our operations, all our military operations, and our Department of Defense, the Pentagon. The Armed Services Committee deals with 37% of the overall United States budget and 55% of our discretionary part of that budget goes towards the Department of Defense.
And I should point out, when we were talking about the military and transgender rights, the military actually was socially much more progressive than society. Whether it was blacks or other minorities, the military has been first over the years to integrate. And so, it shouldn't be they shouldn't have been singled out for a group that can't deal with integration of people. They've really been on the forefront.
Well, and when you consider that was the case with African Americans, Latinos once upon a time, they weren't allowed to serve. Women were not allowed to serve. And we all know that those were ridiculous arguments. And now many of those groups all can serve now. And to single out the transgender individuals is just outright discrimination and not becoming of the values of our country.
So I was thinking of going to Club Med in South Korea. Is this a bad time to take a beach vacation in South Korea? Will they be safe?
Well, I recently went to South Korea on a congressional delegation. The chairman of the Armed Services Committee invited me to go along with 7 other individuals. And we went there to see firsthand the geographic layout, but more importantly, to understand the military challenges that exist as it relates to the geography. And we also got to go to the DMZ, the militarized zone, and it was quite interesting to get a first-hand look at that. It's been really, really unfortunate that we have a president who's never served, got deferments, and treats our military like it's some kind of game that he can play with. And the way he baits North Korea, the way his rhetoric is, like nuclear weapons are just a slingshot or something he can, play marbles with, it's a reckless behavior, reckless rhetoric that puts our national security at risk and brings us close to war. He's done terrible the way he's behaved in dealing with North Korea, and it's been really unfortunate. We need to work towards a diplomatic solution, working with China and other allies, and opening up the type of constructive dialogue so that we could reach a diplomatic solution with North Korea.
And the same, I guess, goes for Iran, where it was very clear that when Obama signed or recommended the signing of the nuclear deal with Iran, that was just about the nuclear weapons program. Everything else was a separate issue. And I think that we see here is the Trump administration trying to find a way of breaking that deal.
Absolutely. The only good news is that he didn't make good on doing away with the deal like he said he was. Yeah. So yet it's just, I think you realize that certainly no deal is perfect, but this bought time from giving Iran an opportunity to build a nuclear weapons.
Do you think there are things? One of the things that I think bothers people who live in a beautiful place like Santa Barbara that doesn't experience a lot of the issues that we see on television every day. How do we do anything that's helpful? I mean, how do we help people like you make change? Because here we're sort of insulated. Everyone agrees. You know, when you go to a coffee shop, you know, you find people just like yourself for the most part. How do we do something that would be productive in this crazy world?
Well, we all have friends and family that live out of this area. We certainly should be communicating with all our networks to make sure that we are spreading the advocacy against some of these ridiculous actions we are seeing in Congress and from this administration. And certainly people should not hesitate to not only contact me, but contact other members of Congress and their staffs. Let their sentiments and their concerns be known. And writing letters to the editor, reminding everyone that these are issues are front and center and we should not forget about them and be strong advocates. Continue our advocacy.
I think there's 5 or 6 more million voters who are clearly Democrats. Maybe we should ask them all to move to the red states. You think that would be helpful? And then we'd have more Democratic voters. That's not going to happen.
That's probably a thought.
That's not going to happen. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Available only at the company's headquarters in Goleta, the new Deckers brand showcase features the latest footwear from UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands. You're invited to stop by to experience firsthand what makes Deckers brand so unique. Discover new product and try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand at their retail stores. Now open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here with Congressman Salud Carbajal, and we've been talking about all of the world's problems. And going back to our own country, there was this, you know, important discussion about the Google email that went around about women not being qualified to do certain types of scientific jobs because of their chemistry. I know what that answer is going to be if I asked you that question, so I'm not. But what I'm really looking at is about women in politics. Do you think that, you know, if you look at the number of women in the Senate, for example, it's very, very small. Do you do you think we need to encourage more women? You know, women, one of the characteristics they do seem to have is the ability to get along with each other. Do you think that's part of the solution?
Absolutely. I believe more women need to be encouraged and do need to be in our decision-making elected capacity. I do believe that women are a much more superior species than us men. I think they're more level-headed. And for the most part, not always, but I think they make very good decisions. And I think we do need to have a much more diverse, gender-diverse governance at all levels of government. And I think we do need to encourage more women to take the helm of public policy.
Now, do you offer internships?
Yes, we offer internships in each of our office, three offices here in Santa Barbara and Washington, D.C. They could go to Salute Carbajal. What is it?
Carbajal.house.gov
to apply.
Because that's a really good way. My son started out that way 2 years ago as a way of really getting involved in the issues and in politics. Besides helping out, they also learn about how the real world works.
You know, Neil, let me just add that I am very proud that over my years as a county supervisor, and now I continue, I've always tried to do everything possible to mentor women to get into elected office. I can tell you, mentored or be part of an effort to recruit women. And I could name many individuals that I am very proud that I was very supportive of their candidacy in their quest to become elected officials. Be it my colleague, former colleague, Supervisor Janet Wolf, Monique Limon, I first appointed her to a women's commission. And then she ran for the school board and was very supportive of her efforts. Now she's an assemblywoman. There are many young women that I, in all ages, that I have been very supportive of and continue to do so. Because one thing is to talk about it. Another thing is to put your money where your mouth is and really make the time, take the time to help achieve that.
And what legislation should we be aware of that we need to understand and maybe help move along? Is there any particular legislation that is really going to be important to us that you're working on?
Well, there's the Gun Violence Restraining Order Act that I put forth that really allows for family members and law enforcement to be able to temporarily, after due process, going through the courts, make sure that somebody who is in undergoing a mental illness episode, who is of threat to themselves or someone else, cannot own or buy a firearm temporarily until they're cleared by their doctors and the courts. And that's something that I think is really important to make sure that we're doing everything possible to minimize gun violence in our communities.
And what are your political ambitions besides being president one day?
No political ambitions like that. My political ambitions are just to learn more of how to do my job better, to do my job more effectively, to better serve my constituents, and to make them proud that I'm working hard for them, that they know I'm being accessible, I'm a good listener, and I'm moving forward legislation in an effective way to improve the lives of all Americans, in particular those residents here on the 24th Congressional District.
And how do people get in touch with you?
They should be able to contact one of my offices here on the Central Coast or in Washington. Here in Santa Barbara, people can call 730-1710, or in San Luis Obispo, 546-8348. Or in Washington, they could call my office, 202-225-3601, or by email, which they could go to my official website, Salute Carbajal, Representative Salute Carbajal, and send me an email through that portal.
Salute, thank you so much for being here today, and thank you so much for all you do and all you'll continue to do. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education. We'll be right back here next week at the same time.
Shove it.
It's